Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's good to be here, and we still remember our 3 weeks with you. We had such fun, and we laughed, and but at the same time, the things were imparted, and you know, because of that, we put a little report in our newsletter, which is called On Eagle's Wings. These are on the bookstall outside. This is the new edition, so pick one up and take one because they're quite free. But we put a little report on investing in children, and a church up in the Manchester area and one in the Midlands came and said, please come and talk, invest in our children. So we've been doing that over the last few weeks. And then we put the teaching on our website. I know it was on your website, but we were working on building our website, and we put it on. And then I had an email come from someone in the Midlands I've never heard of before in my life. And he said, well, I've just listened to all your teaching on investing in children. I've downloaded it, and I'm burning it onto CDs, and I'm giving it to all the people in the Midlands. So this is a great, you know, when you give something, it's like a planting of a seed. It just keeps on going and keeps on and even the way, you know, you draw things out of us. And so there are things that we only would say because we were being drawn out by you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it's a blessing for that time to have it still bearing fruit and changing people's lives. On your seat is a little booklet. Pick it up. It belongs to you. If there's a chair alongside you and there's an extra one, take two. So some of you may have bought a little booklet called If You Want to Grow. The contents of If You Want to Grow and the contents of this are precisely the same. But I have some of these, and I thought, it's Christmas time. Let's bless everybody. I am passionate about people reading the Word of God, so there you are. Take it. You can start on the 7th of December, which is tomorrow, and on the 6th of December next year, you'll have gone through and you'll have read the whole of the New Testament and half of the Old Testament, or all of it, whichever way you choose to use it. Okay. Also, in this year, since we were with you, Joyce has written a book, What Do These Stones Mean? And again, our kind of continued partnership here with you folks has continued to bless us because Judith said, look here, I'd love to give this a plug at Faith Camp, which you did, and we sold lots of copies. That was good. You may have been at Faith Camp, and you may have listened to the plug that Pastor Judith gave, and you may have bought it. But if you haven't, they're outside. You can buy them today. There's a book I've written, and I've written it a long time ago. It's called Help Yourself to Health. And I just felt to kind of just encourage, plug it today. It's about everything we do in our lives that enables us to be healthy. You know, you can go to a doctor and a doctor can say, I can give you some medicine, but unless you change your lifestyle, I can't really help you. And, you know, we can often pray for people, you know, come up and pray for people and you say, yeah, God will touch you today, but unless you actually bring your life in line, live healthy, you won't stay healed. And in fact, it was inspired through a time when I was in Eastern Germany, and I could see the person who I was praying for with who had ankle problems. You know, I could see that, you know, she had other issues, and I just said, you know, don't you think that is the Lord saying anything to you? And she didn't seem to think the Lord was saying anything to her. But I just said, you know, I think you need to ask the Lord. I'll pray for you, but you ask the Lord because I believe if you change your lifestyle, you will see that healing remain. So in any case, that's just a plug there. It's good to be here and sharing the word. I'd like to pray before I say any more. Father, I'm asking you today that you will put something into our hearts which is truth, life revelation, something which changes the way we live. Because, Father, you don't just want to speak to us because it's Sunday. You want to speak to us because you are concerned. You want to be involved in the very details of our life. And, Lord, that's what we want today. And, Lord, I'm praying as a result of today, we will have received something and we will live in a different way because you have impacted our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's near Christmas, and the whole theme of light is the thing the Lord's laid on my heart. And you can start in Isaiah chapter 9, if you've got your Bibles. And in Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 2, there is a very, it's a very important verse. This is a chapter, Isaiah 9. We're coming up to Christmas. If you go to the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, you will hear Isaiah 9. It's that kind of key prophetic scripture about the coming of Jesus. Verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We're in a very dark kind of time of the year. Christmas comes and light is something which is so powerful. We're going to be in Germany for Christmas with our daughter who lives over there. And she has a baby coming around about the new year. And so she said, come over and have Christmas. And we said we'd stay on a little while afterwards to help the family with the new addition to their family. And so you think to yourself, well, Christmas, we're not going to be here. So when all the Christmas trees are being sold or cut your own and all that stuff, well, we're not going off with our saw to cut our own this year. But we have got a whole range of kind of Advent lights and things. You know these little things that seven lights in a little thing? We had them before they sold them in the garden centers over here, because we had quite a lot of contact with Sweden and Germany and places like that. In fact, they were given to us when we were over there. So up go our kind of Advent lights. We also have a star, which comes from Herrnhut. And Herrnhut is the place where the Moravian missionaries, the kind of world missionary movement really is birthed out of Herrnhut. And when I was going over to East Germany years and years ago, I just saw these stars. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. The thing about when we were in East Germany in those days, before the wall came down and all that stuff, is they wanted to bless us. They couldn't give us any money because East German money, you can't take it out of the country. You couldn't take it out of the country. And so they knew, I just sort of admired these various Christmas things. And so they gave us a whole load of stuff for Christmas. So the lights have gone up in our house, including the Herrnhuter star, which hangs outside the front door. And so everybody can know, if you want to find a house in Kongsbury, which has got a star outside the door, ring on the doorbell, we're inside. Okay, but light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. When Jesus came, light came into the world. Every single one of us here knows, if you know Jesus, if he lives in your heart, light has come into you. You can look into people's eyes as you walk around the streets and you see darkness. You see a blankness behind people's eyes. But when Jesus comes in to your life, a light has dawned. And we just want to, it's a fantastic thing that moment the light began to come. Then it goes on to talk about, you know, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, so on and so forth. We know that. And the next verse in verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I want you to know that the light that began to shine when Jesus was born in Bethlehem is a light that is shining today. And of the government and of his peace, there is no end. We have received that, but we have a mandate to let that light shine. And I believe with all my heart today that the Lord wants something of his light to shine out of our lives today and during this time. You see, light doesn't make a lot of noise, but it's very effective. Wherever light comes into darkness, the darkness is dispelled. You know, you don't go into a room with the light off and you say, in the name of Jesus, I come against this darkness. Oh, I come on this darkness. You just go to the light switch and turn it on. Boom. It's gone. And there are times that we're fighting the darkness when we need to turn on the light. And so Jesus comes. He is the light of the world. But I want you to turn over now to Philippians chapter 2, because I want to read from Philippians 2. This is the kind of bit that talks about us. We've read a bit about talks about Jesus coming and his light shining. Philippians 2 and verse 13. The bit before, it's a very familiar bit which talks about Jesus. In verse 5 it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And it talks about, although he was in very nature God, he made himself nothing. He came as a servant. And then it says, God exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. Then in verse 12 it says, therefore. When you read therefore in the Bible, you realize that there's something that's gone before and something's coming afterwards. Therefore doesn't just sit in the middle. It doesn't sort of start the chapter. Therefore comes in the middle of something. So you need to see what's gone before and what's going to come after it. This is what's coming after. My dear friends, as you have obeyed, not only in my presence, but also much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, when we read those verses, you may be familiar of those verses, we are in danger of reading the wrong words. And the wrong words that we read is this. We read, continue to work at your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act of his good purpose. And the words we pick out are work, fear, and trembling. And those are not the words that you're meant to see. Because it actually doesn't say work, it says work out. And there's a lot of difference between work and work out. Work out means say, let it out. Work out is let it out. Work out is not work. And fear and trembling is not something you're afraid of. Work out your salvation in a sense of awe. At all God has done in you. So don't read the wrong words. Please don't read the wrong words. It seems to me that the enemy will always want to pull us into the wrong things. It says here, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good purpose. The great thing about the light that God has put into you is that God is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his purpose. I want to say, when the light comes in, God comes in, and God is in you because he wants to work out of you. And it's God who is at work. He is the worker. God is the worker. The problem with religion is this. It's all to do with what we're meant to do. The thing about living faith is it's all what he wants to do. It's not what you want to do. It's what he wants to do. And when I talk about light, it's what he wants to do in you. Because whenever there's a kind of sense of ought in people, you know, ought is a terrible word. We can get burdened with our oughts. I ought to do this. I ought to do that. And, you know, you come to church, you say, what are they going to lay on me today? You know, am I going to go out with an ought? Now, you don't go out with an ought. You go out with a God who is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his purpose. And that is good. That is not bad. And it goes on to say, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Stars in the universe. The word of God says here that you're to shine like stars in the universe. And that's what he wants to do. The coming of Jesus was not announced so much with words, but as with glory. We so often want to explain, but God wants to demonstrate. And that is something that we're bowed down in. I'm talking about light and our lives shining. When we think about communicating our faith, we often think about words. I don't know, some of you may be brand new Christians, and if you haven't had this, well, just close your ears and just ignore what I'm about to say. But if you've been around a while, when we were kind of brought up in our sort of, you know, early, you know, to actually witness and to kind of tell someone, you almost needed a kind of a degree in witnessing. Do I have the right words? Have I given them the four spiritual laws? Have I done this? That's not got to do with shining. That's to do with just try. And when people start that kind of patter, you just turn off. I know that you must know this. Pick up the telephone. Someone starts talking to you and they're reading a script. How long do you let them talk before you put the phone down? Not long. Thank you very much. I don't need what you're trying to sell me today. Goodbye. I might be less courteous than that when I'm doing that. The key is, here's a freebie. Always put the phone down when you're talking. And then you're not rude. So, nothing to do with the sermon, but just a freebie. So, when the shepherds were in the fields, when Jesus was being announced, it says the glory of God appeared. What did they see first? Glory. Then they had words. We need glory and then words. There are wise men in the east. What did God bring them to Jerusalem? He brought them with a star. He didn't bring them with an explanation. And God is saying that he wants to shine out from us. We had an experience on holiday this summer. We went to Spain. We had quite a busy summer. And we had our family, our youngest son who works in Chad with Missionary Aviation Fellowship over there. And he and their four kids were with us. And I can tell you, 2.5 weeks with these four little ones under the age of 8, I can tell you, it took all our resources. And suddenly we discovered that we had 12 days that we could actually go somewhere. So we jumped on a plane, went to Spain, took our camping gear with us and all that. We do sort of crazy things like going off in little tiny tents and we can't handle rain. We cannot go anywhere where it rains. Our camping does not include rain. So we have to go to the Sahara Desert or somewhere like that where it does not rain. We go to Spain, inland Spain, no rain, temperature is good all 24 hours a day. So then there's a swimming pool. So we got a little tent, we got a swimming pool, we got our books, nice little tavernas where we can eat food. So we're there beside the pool reading our books. And this guy comes up to us and says, "Are you English?" And we said, "Yes, we are." He said, "I saw you're reading English books." They weren't Christian books, I might add to you. Might tell you what we were reading. I can't remember reading. I think I was reading one about Lance Armstrong, the cyclist guy. But he began to talk. He's an American. He'd been touring around Spain. I think he'd scarcely found another English speaker anywhere. And he kind of looked at us, "I just can speak English now." And so we had a chat with him. And then a little bit while later, we met the girlfriend, which was the reason why he was still in Spain and not traveling somewhere else. Now, she had, in fact, spoke good, her English was pretty good. So we began to talk to her and just share things. And she suddenly said to us, "You speak English very clearly." And we said, "Well, we spend a lot of time in other countries where we are speaking, and we very often with translation, but it's very good if people can understand your English. And so if you speak clearly, then it's more helpful." And so, "What kind of things do you do?" I said, "Well, we go and take, we go to churches and we do Christian conferences." And this guy said, "I thought so." Wasn't that what he said? And we had not said anything about our faith, about Jesus, but the light was shining. We were encouraged. We just went back to our tent and said, "Hallelujah." He could see that Jesus was shining out of us, and we said nothing. That's why I said we weren't reading Christian books, because he couldn't take any clues out of what he'd seen so far. He could only do it because something was happening in our lives which was shining out. And the Word of God says, "Yet let your light so shine before men that they will see you go work." Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He said, "I am the light of the world." He also said, "You are the light of the world." And that is important. Jesus said in John chapter 17 that he said, "I have given them the glory that you gave me." You have been given the glory that Jesus had here on earth. When he left earth, he looked at it, he turned to his disciples, well, he prayed to his Father, "I have given them the glory that you've given me." You have glory. And that glory is upon you. We are here, as we gather as God's people, we are preparing you to shine outside. And that's the important thing. You see, people can't see. I'm looking out through there. I can see a car out in the car park. I can see some steps over there. I can't really see anything else. People can't see what's happening. To them, what we're doing here is total mystery. And if what happens in here remains a mystery, all they will think is that we're some kind of secret society who aren't able to say anything. And aren't able to shine. Because the things we do say, it's not that we just smile there with a nice suntan on our faces if we're in Spain. But when we shine, we have an opportunity to, in fact, say. And as we were praying this morning, you prayed about Catherine. Is it Catherine who's had the good report? I wanted to say to you, that is a great testimony. And the world needs to hear that. I don't know any of the history, but I am quite sure that as far as you're concerned here, praying for Catherine, standing in faith for her, that she would go and get a good report, has been a real issue in all your lives over the last number of weeks or wherever long it's gone on. So you have a good report. Because the fallacy is to be able to talk about our faith is to say, "Well, I'm a Christian and I've got my sins forgiven." And of course, you haven't got your sins forgiven. And the thing you really need to realize is that if you carry on like that, you're going to go to hell. But I do have good news for you. I can help you not go to hell. So if you like, listen to my message for a few moments. I can tell you how to get saved and then you won't get to hell and then you might be happy. I don't think that's good news. But just to say to somebody at your work tomorrow, "I got an incredible story. Yesterday, when I was in church, we heard a report of a lady who we've been praying for the last few months, who has been battling with cancer. And we have been praying and asking God to heal her. This last week she went to the hospital. She's had a clear report. and we stood up and we just thanked God that she's healed. Isn't that great? Can you tell me anybody who could find that bad news? Does it not glorify Jesus? Does it not declare the greatness of our God? And does not it sound like a light shining in a dark place? Not only did Jesus say, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But in Revelation it says, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's Revelation 12, somewhere or other. I've got it written down here. Revelation 12, 11, you're telling me? Did I write it down? May have done. These things go together. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, what is the word of their testimony? Well, I'll tell you. You see, the blood of the Lamb is the title deed. So, the devil is defeated because of what Jesus did and the record that we have against it. So, if you have a house, if you buy a house and you get given a title deed, that gives you the right to walk through the door and possess it. But you can walk around with a title deed in your hand and an empty house down the road with no one living in it. And you can do that forever until the house falls down, until you kind of die of hypothermia because you've got nowhere to live. So you have the title deed. So it is the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And the testimony is the declaration of who God is. We're thinking sometimes that, you know, testimony is how I became a believer. It is a testimony. It's a good testimony. And if it needs telling, it's a good testimony to tell. But everything that God is doing in your life, everything God is doing in the lives of other people in this church is a testimony which is defeating the devil. It said in our scripture in Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. And earlier on, Pastor Judith, I think, was talking about the way kind of we live without complaining, without being miserable and all this kind of stuff. That is important. If I'm a thankful person, then that is a testimony. And if in my work situation I go in with thanksgiving, I go in with gratitude, I go in declaring how blessed I am. I've quoted Pastor Judith many, many times. When you say, how are you? She says, I'm blessed. You've all heard that more than once. That is a testimony, which is a powerful testimony. And in preparing people to impact their world, just another kind of issue I might sort of ask the question here is there anybody here starting a new job? Or has started a new job maybe in the last 2 weeks? Anybody? Right, you started, are you 2 weeks old or is it a new one? When are you starting? Last week. Right. You started a new job Monday last week. Right. Okay. Now, if someone was going off to Burundi to do some mission in Burundi, we'd send them up here and we'd pray for them, wouldn't we? We'd say they're going to go out and they're going to extend the kingdom of God. But do we take every person who goes out into a new situation and say the same? I want to pray for you. Yeah, I'll just stand up here. I'll come down to you. What's your name?
Mary.
Right, you've been in this job for a week.
Well, I actually lived in London. I've just moved here.
You just moved here?
To start the work.
To start the work, okay. God's brought you here?
I believe so.
You're? And you're a light there?
Yep.
Okay. And they're going to know, they're going to see Jesus because you're there. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for Mary right now. And I thank you that you brought her from London down here. I thank you you provided her a job. And I thank you that she has been sent by heaven to be a light in that place and to shine and show them Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are a light in a dark place. You go with the blood of the Lamb and with the testimony of Jesus. And you will see the enemy defeated and you'll see Jesus lifted high. And people's lives will be changed because of you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay, let's see where we are. I believe that it's so important that we are ready to let this light shine and wherever we are. Just to add another testimony. Last week, we were doing some of our investing in children teaching near Bicester. And a lady came to me at the end, and she asked me to pray for her. And she asked me to pray for her family situation. Now, we'd had some conversation with her during the weekend, and she'd come and talking to both Joyce and myself, and she had said that she had two daughters, and I think they're about 12 and 14 or something like that. But although they had been coming along to church, and although they had been active in all the various activities of the life of the church, over the last maybe 12 months or so, they had decided they didn't want to come to church, and they weren't coming, and she was coming on her own. Sadly, her marriage had failed maybe a couple of years previously. So we have a lady here who's really quite discouraged and completely lacking in confidence. And as I prayed for her, I just felt the Lord saying to me, to say to her, you just need to let the light shine. You need to let everything that's going, all the good things that God is doing in your life, all the good things you hear about, you just got to talk about them. Because when we are in a family situation where it may be that you're the only believer, there is the kind of feeling no one wants to hear. Well, these daughters may have said, oh, we don't all like, you know, we're over that. We're not going to church anymore. You know, you're a religious, you've got religious mania and, you know, they may have said everything negative. I don't know what they said. I'm just making that up. But they may have said, but they'd said enough to stop her voice. And there are people who are in situations where they're the only believer. We're talking about the light shining in a work situation, but there's the home situation. There are unbelieving partners and spouses. And there's a danger that everything we do, like here, is just completely encapsulated. So we come in here and think, oh, well, you may just have a word with Pastor Judith, and you may just say, oh, I was so strengthened this morning. That was just the word I needed to hear. You walk out through that door, and it's as if it's steeled in. It doesn't break forth anymore. That, in fact, that will give the enemy a chance to have a go at you. Because the word of the testimony, in fact, the thing keep the devil away. And you see, if you don't share testimony with that, see, I don't believe defeating the devil is saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now, you may have to do that. There are occasions when that happens. Fewer than many would think. Most of the time is our declaration of who God is, of his greatness, of his love, of his blessing on us, doesn't give the devil a chance to get within 100 miles of you. And therefore, if we will not say it, there are situations when the things that we say need to be said in not a very pointed sort of way. You know, the children are in the kitchen. I'm just thinking of this lady. I didn't say this to her, but this was the way I'd recommend her. I would say, when you're washing up, give them the testimony. When they're still munching the cornflakes and you're at the sink or maybe at the stove, just say, hey, I do, a fantastic thing happened at church. We had this lady we've been bringing pray for, and you know, she's had the results and they're clear. Isn't it amazing? And you're just saying that to the window, but you're not saying it to the window, you're saying it to the children. But you're not eyeballing them, because you're not giving them a chance to be negative. We're back investing in children, aren't we? Do you hear what I'm saying? There are times, even in a work situation, that we kind of need to talk into the thin air. I'm all for kind of eyeballing people, but there are times that things that you need to say, you need to say them loudly, clearly, all embracingly. Say, I've got some good news. You know, and you give them the story, but you're not kind of letting anybody say, oh, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Don't give them room for that. Just do it in a way that it's just shining light out in the place. Because I believe that's important. And I believe that our situation, what the Lord was saying to me as I was praying, I believe the situation has placed fear into our lives. So that we love being with God's people. We love worshiping Jesus. We love all these things. But our mouths and even our light is stopped when we walk out through that door. And sometimes, because we have had very negative reactions, we've even had threats said to us about sharing the things that are going on. That is just the enemy trying to stop your mouth. And the testimony is going to set you free. Testimony is not only the miracle of somebody being healed. The testimony is thanksgiving for God's goodness. Testimony is things that God led you to. Ways that you just find a bargain somewhere, which is a real blessing. It's ordinary things where you see that God has done something great, that give God the glory. And they impact people because they see that your life is such a blessing. Because if we belong to Jesus, we have lives that are blessed. And if we have lives that are blessed, the fact that we declare the blessing is, someone may say, why is it always going so good for you? Well, you've got it on a plate, haven't you? Well, because in fact, you know, I belong to Jesus. I'm a believer. And I pray, and God answers my prayers, and his word tells me that as I follow him, he will bless me. So I'm only getting what the Bible tells me I'm getting. And if you feel that I'm getting too much, well, it might be an opportunity to come on my side of the fence rather than stay on your side of the fence. The thing, I just want to say this and then I'm going to pray, but there's, if you look at the Bible, so many of us have been brought up on redemption theology, which starts with us as sinners. Yes, we are sinners, and we need to be saved. But creation theology starts with God, whose heart is to have a relationship with his people. And because of the fall, that relationship was broken. So God's passion is to come into connection with you. He will forgive your sins. All the things that you've learned about redemption theology is not wrong. But if we start off by saying, your problem is that you're a sinner. You started too far along the track. Your problem is that you have lost connection with God. And what he wants about above everything else is to connect with you. And there are very few people who have difficulties when they know that someone is on their side. And when they know someone's on their side, that is good news. If they realize they're out of sorts with God, it can make them defensive. even although we are out of sorts with God in the natural. But God's purpose is to bring us into living connection with him. Do you want to tell that Beth story? I was going to tell my thing about it. Joyce remembers details better than I do, and I could tell that if I was halfway through the story and got lost, I'd have to be having a prompt. So she needs to... You tell Beth's story.
This is a friend of ours who is wonderful at connecting people to the Lord. She says she leads about 300 people to Jesus without trying on an annual basis. By accident, because she shines and she brings her everyday life into the context of the people she meets. She is a mentor to my son-in-law, who's a pastor in Germany, and she's greatly helped him just through talking, just on a regular basis to him. He lives in Frankfurt, and one of the high-up officials in the Deutsche Bank, very wealthy man, was married and for 13 years were waiting for a baby. When the baby actually came, they discovered that the child had something wrong with his brain. He wasn't, the family weren't Christians or had any interest in Christian things, and the baby went through a series of operations and was constantly in pain and expecting to die. So another member of the church who worked with him, a work colleague in the Deutsche Bank, was a member of my son-in-law's church. I'm a bit muddled there, but you get that. And so he said to this friend of ours, Beth, would you be prepared next time you're in Germany to come and pray for this family and just talk to them because they're in desperate need? And she said, yes, I would. Now, this is how it went. And I think it's masterly. And I think my heart just says, yes, Lord. She walked into the room of these people she'd never met in her life before, knowing what I have told you. And her greeting, after the greeting and pleasantries, she said to them, you must be hurting very badly. And they were fairly tearful, and they said, we are. And then she said, do you know why it's so very difficult? And this man looked at her as if she'd come from another planet, and he said, well, it's because of our child. And she said, yes, it is, but it's more than that. She said, it's because you're on your own. And the moment she said that, their eyes opened, and she said, you see, you were never designed to be going through things like this on your own. You were designed to have your hand in the hand of a Father God who actually wants to walk through these circumstances and bring you out the other end. And she may have said more, but I'm giving you the headlines. And this man said, well, we would love to know God in the way that you're talking about. So she said, right, let me pray for you now. Let's just, because he wants you to connect with him. And, you know, he sent Jesus so that there is a way already made for you to come into relationship, back into relationship with him. Masterly, no resistance. She prays for them. She prays for the baby. And he turned to her and he said, you know, even if God doesn't heal our baby, we won't have lost out because we have him. And that's a revelation in a matter of half an hour. And then, you know, Beth was leaving because she didn't know these people very well, and she'd come specifically for this one thing. It wasn't like going to stay here for hours. But the Holy Spirit prompted her and said, tell these people that I'm smiling on them today. And she thought, oh, that's a bit of a sort of kind of, you know, corny thing to say. Is that really what you want to say, Lord? And he said, yes, it's important. So she said, you know, I just have the impression that God wants me to tell you that he is smiling on you. And they both burst into tears. And she said, oh, you know, made some sort of thing. And he said, no, you need to know why what you said is so important. He said, before you came, we were nervous. We didn't know what to expect. We're not used to people coming into our home to pray. He said, we went and stood outside and just were waiting for you for the doorbell to ring. And he said, in the clouds, there was a cloud which looked like a smiley face. And I said to my wife, do you think today God will smile on us? Isn't that incredible? And yet, you see, That's so easy. What's difficult about that? You're going to tell people that there is a God who wants to enter their circumstances and help them. You're going to tell people, because the Holy Spirit tells you, to tell them that there is a God who's smiling at you today. And God is the one who is at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, the trouble is that we actually feel the whole responsibility is ours. But it's God who causes you to see. It's God who gives you the opportunities. I'll tell you one more story, if I can. The same lady was in a hairdresser's in Holland. She travels extensively. And a pastor's wife had taken her to have her hair cut. And was sitting there just to check that she got the right haircut because of the language difficulty. And the hairdresser spoke pretty good English. And Beth sat there, told her she was American, you know, just blah, blah. And then this lady who was cutting her hair turned to Beth and said, "Do you believe in God?" Now, what would you have done in that situation? "Yes, I'm a Christian. Here I am, you know, the woman with power for the hour." In. But actually, you've got to keep hearing God. So Beth said to her, "Yes, I do believe in God, but tell me what sort of God you're talking about." Because God is a term that can cover anything. And so this girl said, "Well, I suppose I'm talking about my grandmother's God. He's all no and all, very, very, very old-fashioned." And so Beth said, "Well, my God isn't like that." She said, "My God actually is a God of love. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the God who loves, and he's the God who wants to connect." And she went on in that vein. By the time she'd left that hairdresser, the hairdresser was actually saying, "I want this God. I would love to be connected with this God, but I know that my grandmother's God doesn't like me sleeping with my boyfriend." So she's right out with it. And so Beth said to her, "Well, you'll probably find out that the God of love..." What she said, "Why do you think that is?" And the girl said to her, "Well, you know, my grandmother says it's wrong." And she said, "But why is it wrong?" And she said, "Because it probably isn't the best way to live." And Beth said to her, "If you had a child, would you want to be married?" And she said, "Oh yes, if we had a child." "Why would you do that?" "Because it's the best way." And so she then says, "You know, the God of love actually wants the best for you. It isn't about no, no, don't. It's actually, what are the maker's instructions? What is the best?" And she left that lady in contact with Jesus. Amen. Now, this is what Charles is talking about. Your circumstances are totally unique. You are a secret agent in your workplace. You are a secret agent in your family. And you shine. You know, just let it out. Let it out. This week, let it out. And come back and testify. You know, you may not do the whole process. You may not start and get to, you know, to somebody being, you know, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit all in one go. You know, that does happen. But actually, it doesn't always happen. But light is coming out of you. Emitting the whole time. The stars are emitting light the whole time. Under stress, in pressure, in situations where you're about to tell a lie and you don't. You know, when you're kind and nobody's watching you, the light is shining. The light is shining. And that's what the Lord is asking of all of us. Take the angst out of it. You have the equipment because you have the Lord Jesus Christ who's inside you, talking, telling you information that you need to have, causing you to see people in, you know, to be attracted to people, to see people's faces. You know, why are you looking in that corner of the room and constantly looking at that woman? Well, I don't know, but ask Jesus. Why am I being attracted to her there? Do you know? On the bus. Your smile, your countenance is part of the light shining out.
What God is seeking to communicate is that you are being given openings and opportunities all the time. You know that already, but you have not been walking through them. And it's not to give people a big, big spiel. It's to speak the word that God gives. And those two testimonies, our friend Beth, are amazing. Just in that hairdresser's. And this other pastor said, "I'm just amazed that what I thought she would do, she did not do. But what you did do connected this person to God. And what you say under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to bring light. More people are being, I'm going to say this and I'm going to pray. Christmas time, there are more people who are connected by Christians than any other time of the year. That is a fact. You have your talent share, trying to get the word for it. Get friends in there. They're going to see the light. You're going to say, you know, watching somebody do a song and dance routine, it isn't quite so wonderful as it ought to be. What's good is that? The fact is that there are kids having a whale of a time, and there's a bunch of people who are just loving life. And that is going to communicate. You think, oh, did we have an epilogue? You don't need an epilogue. You've got the light. Because we have tried to make things religious rather than make them real. So, let's pray.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.